on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Trending Thoughts. I'm your host, Tori Smith. And before we go any further, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for all the subscriptions. Thank you for all the reviews, all the listens, all the DMs. Again, it doesn't go unnoticed and we appreciate it. And Chanel will for sure be making more guest appearances in the future due to the overwhelming response. And honestly, I enjoyed having her on. So thank you to Chanel for coming on. And I appreciate you guys for listening. But this week, we're getting into the trending portion. When it comes to this podcast, I talked about oftentimes my ideas and the things I talk about are based off of social media. Maybe it's a trending topic in real life, something that I thought about randomly, or something that even happened to me in my real life that sparked a conversation in my household with a friend or whoever. 2 weeks ago, I was on social media and I was seeing a lot of top five rankings, you know, whether it's top five greatest basketball players, top five favorite foods, whatever it may be. I kind of chimed in a little bit with my tweet, and it goes word for word. Who are the five greatest players that you've ever played with? Now, I put that out there trying to hear more from the NFL guys, just because I know there's been so many talented players who've been in the NFL since I played, and even before then, right? There's a lot of legends that are on social media as well. And the feedback was unbelievable. I was going on the thread just seeing so many different names from so many different eras and hearing their feedback. It was honestly, it was a light. And to see the fans' response to it, I mean, it was pretty crazy. And I know for me, I've had the opportunity to play with so many great players. And my list, it started off at five, but on this podcast, it's getting stretched to 10 because I realized I left off another Hall of Fame player. So we're going to get to that in a second. Before we get going, I pulled a few of my favorite tweets to the side because I think sometimes it's important to recognize the talent that exists and the opportunity that you have in that brotherhood and that fraternity, which is the NFL, to play with each other. As I said before, and we'll get to my list, so I don't want to keep spoiling it. And some of y'all follow me on Twitter at TorrisonWR, and you know who I put for my top five and who started an argument after that. So I will be talking about 10. But Dre Bly, one of the great corners that played this game, UNC legend, he posted on the thread, and his Twitter name is at Dre Bly _32, that he had the opportunity to play with Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Orlando Pace, and Champ Bailey. This list right here is crazy. The Rams were destroying people back then, and he had the opportunity to be on that team and play with those men. All Hall of Famers, and all amongst the best to do it, in my opinion. They all should be in the Hall of Fame right now. You know, Torrey's on a little delay, but I believe he'll get in one day. But the talent that exists there is unbelievable. Now, four of these men that were mentioned were members of the greatest show on turf. Now, I was a little younger when these guys played. I was just more so a young fan of the game. But I was able to get more of an inside look to that type of talent from Wilbur Montgomery. He was a running backs coach when I was in Baltimore at the time. He's a Philadelphia Eagles legend and honestly one of my favorite coaches that I've been around. And he would describe the meetings, the way these guys worked in practice, the way they prepared, the energy and fun they had. And he would always share those moments and tips with me. So anyone that knows me knows I'm very grateful for Wilbur Montgomery and his impact on my career individually, as a mentor, as a coach, as a older brother, uncle, whatever you want to call him. You know, he's meant a lot to me. And he had the opportunity to coach with those guys and to hear those stories from his point of view, from a player side as well as a coach's side, is pretty crazy from his experiences in the league and to acknowledge the type of talent that existed there. Jeff Schwartz, that's at Jeff Schwartz on Twitter. He spells it G-E-O-F-F. He mentioned that he played with Steve Smith, Julius Peppers, Adrian Peterson, Jordan Gross, and Jamal Charles. Again, another crazy list. And we happened to cross paths on a couple of teammates with Steve Smith and Julius Peppers. I played with Steve Smith in Baltimore, and I played with Julius Peppers in Carolina, and obviously he played with those two as well as Jordan Gross down in Carolina. And again, those are three of the better players that you will ever see play this game. And Adrian Peterson, we all remember the tear that he was on for the longest, one of the biggest freaks to ever play this game. And he's still going. He still looks like he's 22 years old. And Adrian Peterson is a monster. And Jamal Charles, we all know what he was doing to the league. He had one of the best runs you'll see in the history of this game for those few years. He was one of the best running backs. You could argue that he was the best running back for a while, but Adrian Peterson is going to have a lot to say about that. The reason why I like Jeff's tweet is because after he finished listing his five players, he added a quote that said, "Though Odell might be the most physically gifted athlete that he's played with." Think about that for a second. He listed Steve Smith, one of the best and toughest receivers of all time. Julius Peppers, one of the best overall athletes of all time, playing D1 basketball at a high level, and obviously the number one pick in the draft and first ballot Hall of Fame when his time comes. Adrian Peterson, unanimous choice for the running back of this decade. Jordan Gross, a monster who will probably be in the Hall one day. And Jamal Charles. These are some gifted athletes. And he said that Odell Beckham might be the most physically gifted athlete that he's played with. That says a lot about Odell and his talent. And I know a lot of people like to talk about the antics or his confidence or swagger and the way he carries himself. But I'll tell you this, I've had a lot of experience and interactions with Odell, and he's been nothing but first class. The way he treats people, treats them like family, and he works his tail off. I mean, I feel like you would want him on your team. You have to be willing to deal with a lot of the distractions that he doesn't bring. Like there's a microscope on you when you're an athlete that's polarizing. You know, there are only a few athletes in this game that are kind of bigger than the game in terms of celebrities, right? There's football players, and then there's like celebrities. I think Russell Wilson is one of those guys who crosses over. Aaron Rodgers, obviously Tom Brady. Odell is definitely one of those guys that has that ability. So he's always under a microscope. But again, that quote right there from one of his former teammates tells you that his gifts, his physical talent, it just simply can't be denied. Next up, we have Will Blackman, who's a hilarious follow on Twitter. And he has a lot of knowledge when it comes to this game as well. And it's at Will Blackman. He mentioned Brett Favre, Charles Woodson, Aaron Rodgers, and he's still trying to figure out 4 and 5. I will say this. If you have a top three that consists of those three, you probably don't even need to complete your top five. It doesn't really matter. Brett Favre, the gunslinger, is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play this game. We all know that. Charles Woodson, locked down for years, very versatile in this game. We all know what he stands for. And Aaron Rodgers, who is my favorite quarterback of all time, even though I think Tom Brady is the GOAT, I love the way Aaron Rodgers plays the game, his arm talent, and he's a beast, man. And Will Blackman's list, like I said, when you have a three that looks like that, you can leave that as is. And Ryan Keel, who's one of my, I've known Ryan for a long time now. He's known me since I was fresh out of college at the University of Maryland. His list, he had the opportunity to play with the Giants and the Redskins throughout his career. And he added 6 people to his list, so he couldn't even get it down to 5. Same kind of dilemma that I was in. He added Michael Strahan, Eli Manning, Darryl Green, Brian Mitchell, Jerry Rice, and Steve Young. Now, that's a crazy list. Michael Strahan, Hall of Famer, on and off the field. The way he crossed over, I think he's like the model for any athlete that wants to do anything beyond the game. He's awesome. His talent speaks for itself. Eli Manning. I love that he listed Eli Manning because people love to crush Eli Manning. But the reality of it is, he has a couple Super Bowl rings, and he played a very long time at a high level for a lot of it. Then you have Darryl Green, who was one of the GOATs, played longer. I still feel like right now, today, that Mr. Green can run a 4.4 40, which is ridiculous. He's an Iron Man the way he was in the Washington area. Have an opportunity to know him and the Green family. Jared Green, his son, is one of my best friends and one of my accountability partners to help make sure that I'm doing the right thing, man. Mr. Green is the man on and off the field. So have to applaud Ryan for that one. It's hard to disagree with someone who's accomplished what he's accomplished on the field. But Brian Mitchell, someone who I believe should be in the Hall of Fame. Again, another person that I'm thankful to have as a mentor on my side. One of the best returners of all time. Great guy. And I hope he gets in the Hall. Jerry Rice. One of the GOATs, the GOAT, depending on who you ask. I have an opportunity to bump into him as well through my time in San Francisco and the stories you hear about him are amazing. The way his work ethic, the way he carried himself, the way he prepared, and how much this game meant to him is something that we can all get better from. Literally, in whatever you're committed to, Jerry Rice is a model for how to prepare and how to take care of your body. And then Steve Young. I think Steve Young is underrated by a lot of people. It sounds crazy based on what he was able to accomplish, but when you play on the same organization as a guy like Joe Montana, and the history and the tradition that exists there, sometimes you get overshadowed a little bit, but I think Steve Young should get a lot more credit when it comes to the greatest of all time. Obviously, he does get his credit, but I think there could be more. Then Antoine Bethea. Now, he had the opportunity to play with Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Larry Fitzgerald, Robert Mathis, and Dwight Freeney. That list right there is crazy. And I love this because I had the opportunity to play with Tuan out in San Francisco. And he's a Howard grad, HBCU, Virginia product as well. And to know that he played with those guys kind of makes, I know he feels old. He's still been doing the same forever. But I remember playing with them on a video game way back and thinking like they were like the greatest thing on earth. Now, Larry Fitzgerald obviously isn't included in that same team because he had the opportunity to play with him in Arizona. But just that Colts team and what they were and how crazy they were in Madden was something special as well. Fitzgerald, obviously, he speaks for himself. One of the best receivers of all time and for sure one of the best men to ever play this game. Chris Maragos was one of my teammates in Philadelphia. He chimed in with his list, and his Twitter is at Chris Maragos if you want to go check him out. This guy played with T.O., Marshawn Lynch, J.J. Watt, Frank Gore, Richard Sherman, and Earl Thomas. You kidding me, man? A whole list of Hall of Famers. Ridiculous. And T.O., one of the best receivers to play the game. I still hate that they made him wait the way they did for him to get into the Hall of Fame. Should have been first ballot. Marshawn speaks for himself. He's also one of the best dudes and for the culture. Loving the duh. J.J. Watt had the opportunity to be in the same draft class as him and to see his dominance over the years. It's been crazy. He was the best player in this league on defense for a while before injuries derailed him. And to see where he is now and to know he's continuing to fight back and continue to be dominant even past these injuries is pretty crazy. Frank the Tank. I had the opportunity to work out with Frank Gore down in Miami over the years since day one. The way he takes care of his body, he is the model. When it comes to the NFL and how to work, how to take care of your body, how to challenge yourself, Frank Gore is that guy. He pushes any and everyone. He'll go out there right now, even though he's up there in age, and make a 21-year-old look like a chump the way he works and the way he carries himself. He's out there in Miami in 100-degree temperature with all black and sweats and a hoodie on. Like, he's ridiculous. Sherman, another guy, same year as well. Same draft class, 2011. Sherman, he doesn't get enough credit as well. And to see what he's done off his injury and to see him in San Francisco thriving, healthy, leading, it's always fun to watch him on the field. Earl Thomas, has been fun to watch him on this side of the country. Competing against him was a pleasure, but to watch him in purple and black is pretty cool as well. Great leader. That speed, man, he can close the gap so fast. I still remember thinking I had Sherman beat on the play. And Earl Thomas had enough range to get all the way over there and break it up. I'm looking like, how did this dude get there? But he has that kind of range, and he's a fierce hitter as well. Out of all of these guys, my favorite list was from Darius Butler. At Darius J. Butler on Twitter. Darius played with the Colts and the Patriots. So if you played with the Colts and the Patriots within the last 10 or so years, you probably played with some big dogs. Now, he played with Tom Brady, the GOAT, Randy Moss, the GOAT, Robert Mathis, a monster, Reggie Wayne, another Hall of Famer, and Rob Gronkowski, another first ballot Hall of Famer. That is ridiculous. And for him to be a defensive back and to compete with those guys, think about it. He's going at Tom Brady and Randy Moss every day in practice. I can't even imagine what that's like. We have to have him on here one day to talk about that. I just know how he prepares as well. That's another guy who we worked out with together down in Florida. And I never really picked his brain about that, but this is something that I will do going forward. You know, to see Reggie Wayne, one of the best receivers to ever do it. UM product, Rob Gronkowski. We all know Rob and how crazy he is and his work ethic and really that entire Gronkowski family. If you don't know about them, you should probably educate yourself a little more. It's a lot of talent in that family, and that work ethic is crazy. And Robert Mathis was getting after folks for years, but Darius had my favorite list on Twitter. Now it's time for me to get to my list, the list that caused so much drama on my page because I had people pointing out guys like no Joe Flacco, no Carson Wentz, no Nick Foles. Like, man, I played with some great players, and you can't pick everyone. I was just being a little, you know, just a tweet. I had no clue it would turn into something that I would have to expand on a little more, but I'm glad that we did because that conversation really had me thinking, and even beyond thinking, it just had me really appreciating who I had the opportunity to play with. Like, I've played with some legends. And when I tell you about my 10, I'm not just going to tell you about my 10. I'm going to tell you my favorite story or moment that I've had with each of them, whether that's on the field or off the field. Now, this is my list. It's in no particular order. I'm throwing that out there right now so y'all don't fire me up on Twitter. Here we go. Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, Marshall Yonder, Jason Peters, Luke Kuechly, Julius Peppers, Anquan Boldin, Steve Smith, and y'all might rip me for this one, Aldon Smith. I'm finishing with that one. Ed Reed, the greatest safety to ever play this game. And I know some old heads will get mad, no name guys like Ronnie Lott, who I love to death. I think he's obviously one of the best to do it. And you can make that argument. There's Troy Polamalu out there that a lot of people can make that argument for as well. But I'm going with Ed Reed all day, every day of the week, straight up, to see what he was able to do long before I made it to the NFL and to watch him, his process, the way he studied, the way he anticipated things. There was nothing like it. And by the way, Bill Belichick said that he's the GOAT, so I'm sticking with that. But Ed Reed, man, he's like a big brother to me. I had the opportunity to play with him in Baltimore for a couple years. And to watch him be a general on the field, in the backfield, and navigate that was special. But beyond that, my favorite Ed Reed moment was, I can't even say it's his favorite moment. It's really real life. You know, Ed Reed was essential to helping me while I was grieving my brother's death in Baltimore. And he was a person I could count on, I could lean on. You know, he'd always pour into me because he had just experienced the same thing. I believe it was a year before. So we could relate there. And I knew that I was going through this with someone who had been through it and was still going through the grieving process. Everyone knows what he means to me. You know, I love him to death. And Ed Reed, I can go on forever about that. But in terms of personal relationship and real life and seriously how much it helped me during that time period, it was huge. And Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis, the greatest linebacker to play this game. One of the greatest leaders. When you think of leadership, you think of Ray Lewis. You think of speeches, you think of Ray Lewis. And my favorite Ray Lewis moments are I caught a slant one time in practice, and I'm sitting there having to wrestle with this guy all the way to the sideline dang near just because the way he practiced, trying to get the ball out and being aggressive, and it didn't matter. You had to think, I played with Ray year 15 and 16, I believe, of his career. And he was still getting after it when he was in there. It was crazy. But really, my favorite Ray Lewis story that no one would know besides Jacoby Jones, and we look forward to it every week. Ray would come in every week, and we'd kind of just be chilling out. And he would always tell a story. It could be a story from football, a story from childhood. It could be a story from whatever. And he was always going to drop a story. He was going to give it in his Ray Lewis tone, his passion. And we were always dying laughing, man. And Jacoby, we got to get Jacoby on here one day to talk about that because we used to have a good time, you know, way back talking about that, man. And Terrell Suggs, I was in Baltimore my rookie year when Terrell Suggs won defensive MVP. And it was the craziest thing I had ever seen out of one player. I mean, he was dominating everything. And I knew Suggs was that dude that year when he picked off like a screen pass or something. Like, it was the craziest thing I've seen. Ben Roethlisberger just steps up and Suggs picks it off. Like a one-step screen, and Suggs picked the ball off. I mean, just watching him in the way he studied, he prepared, and just honestly just dominated everyone. Suggs, his run that year was unlike no other, and I encourage y'all to go back, look at that, watch video of it. I mean, it was ridiculous. Marshall Yanda just retired. Congratulations on your retirement, Yanda. And Yanda was one of the more blue-collar, hardworking, just a grinder. He's from the Midwest, man, country boy, just a worker. And Yanda, he said something way back. It was after a practice, and Harbaugh used to always make folks come up and say something. And he said something that was so simple, and it really stuck with me. He was just like, embrace the grind. Like, in football, it's never pretty. It's not fun. It doesn't feel good. Preparing doesn't feel good. Practicing, long hours, it doesn't feel good. And he just said, embrace the grind. And those words honestly carry with me through my entire career. When I think about it, it's like, man, just embrace it. You're going to be miserable either way. You might as well just embrace it, take it all in, and know what you're working towards. And that mindset I kind of try to use to shift as I work forward. And Marshall Yanda put the word so simple in a way that we could just carry on and communicate it easily within the team and throughout that culture. And Jason Peters is next up on my list. Jason Peters I played in Philadelphia with him for obviously just one simple year. You know, no big deal, Super Bowl year. And he actually got hurt during the season. But to watch what Jason Peters was making people look like little boys. That's how I put him on there. I mean, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. We all know that. But Jason Peters was making everyone look like a little boy. I'll never forget in practice, there was a screen one time. And Coach Mike Groh kept rewinding it. We were trying to be like, what is he looking at? What do you see? And I hope Chris doesn't get mad, but this guy Jason just drops back. Takes Chris Long, a grown man, one of the better players that I've seen play the game, and just tosses him like a rag doll. And I was like, this is a grown man right here. Like, Chris Long is a grown man too, and he just made it look easy. And so that's why Jason Peters is for sure in that top five, and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer one day. And Luke Kuechly. Luke is really the reason why I started this top 10. Or I had to adjust it because the Panthers fans were reminding me that I was tripping. Luke is one of the best players I've ever seen, period. Like, he could be higher up. I'm talking about competing with Ray Lewis. Like, that type of good. And y'all might think I'm playing or joking. Go look at the film. Like, my favorite Luke memory, he's a guy that I've been able to compete against since college. I remember him being up in Boston College, and we were looking at film. So each week, you get the numbers and things that are prepped, right? And you see the stats. So if you're on offense, you're going to see, all right, the receiver has however many yards, some touchdowns, or the defender has however many picks, tackles, whatever. And you see that this guy was averaging like 15 solo tackles or something. You're like, there's no way. There is absolutely no way this dude is doing, like, they're padding the stats for him. Like, there's no way. And sure enough, you watch film, or you're at the game, and there's Luke Kuechly making every damn tackle by himself. It was the craziest thing. He was the real deal. Next thing you know, he's in the league and he's doing the same thing. Defensive Rookie of the Year. Like, there was no drop off. He made the league his, and it's unfortunate that he had to cut his career a little bit short. But I'll tell you this much, having an opportunity to play with him, as great as a player that he was on it, he was even better off of it. I mean, he's easily one of the hardest working and best teammates that I've been around. And the way he carried himself, he treated everyone the same. Luke would sign for every single person after every practice. Now, I like to take pride in being like a good guy and trying to take care of the fans because I would want somebody to do the same for me. But there was times at the practice, like, look, I'm not doing this today. Like, I'm going to have to pick certain days where I'm doing it because I'm always late for something else when I do it. Luke took care of business 99% of the time, and he's, for a superstar player, he's easily the best that I've ever seen when it comes to fan interaction. Which brings me to the next person on my list, another Panther legend, really a Carolina legend, and that's Julius Peppers. Don't ask me how I left Peppers off my top five the first time. It was just a mental error. I was really tripping. Like, I probably should slap myself for that one. I mean, Pep, I really don't even have to talk about Pep. Pep speaks for itself. One of the best players to ever do it. Athlete. All football players feel like they were basketball players and they could have done both. Well, Pep did it. And to watch the way he carried himself on and off the field, the thing that I loved about playing with him the most is that he was quiet. Pep was quiet. The thing that stood out to me the most was that he was quiet, he led by example, and he practiced his tail off. When he was out at practice, you wouldn't know if that was Julius Peppers, the vet that's up there in age, or Julius Peppers, the 21-year-old player out there. The way he worked, the way he carried himself, like, you could just see it. And that's what greatness looked like, the way he carried himself both on and off the field and his impact off the field as well. He's a guy that I for sure love playing with, and I feel like I'm better because I had the opportunity to play with him. Which transferred me to another guy who for sure impacted me in my career, and that's Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin, the way he carries himself as a man, as a father, the way he is on the field, I mean, man. It's tough me to even put in words sometimes. You know, if you know me, young rookie me, having the opportunity to be around a leader like that, it was perfect, man. I don't think my career would have gone the way it was if I didn't have the type of mentors that were around me in Baltimore. And Anquan was for sure the leader of the pack. Having the opportunity to be a duo with him and the way he prepared as a professional, obviously he knew a lot mentally, but he was in tune with his body. He prepared. Every rep mattered. He was a technician. He worked at things even though he was up there in his career and very mature, and the small things matter. Now, his mentality, that's him on his own. He's a different breed when it comes to that. But just simply watching him prepare and watching the way he was with his kids and his growing family was something I was for sure thankful that I had the opportunity to watch and witness and add to my toolbox, you know, when it comes to me growing and being a father and continuing to make my impact in the community. The next up on my list is Steve Smith. Smith & Smith Associates, my partner in crime in Baltimore for a year. And Steve meant the world to me as well. The way he played this game was fierce. He was the most aggressive player that I've ever played with. His mentality is different. And that's why he was as great as he was. He loved this game. He's passionate about it. Everything mattered, which is why you see that emotion that you see. And again, there's no secret. I believe that he should be in the Hall of Fame. What he's been able to do in this game at his size, with his mentality, I mean, there's been no one that's been created like Steve Smith. My favorite Steve Smith story actually isn't even on the field. It's off of it. We were eating at my favorite restaurant in Baltimore, Jimmy Seafood, one day. And Steve and I were just chilling. I remember a young boy coming up, and his dad clearly had told him to come over there. You know, I'm diving into crabs at this point, and Steve's doing something else. And the guy comes up like, hey, you know, young boy comes up like, hey, you know, Steve, can I have your autograph? And Steve was like, well, don't you see us eating? You know, he wasn't rude. He was just like straight up, like, you know, don't you see us eating? Like, this isn't the right time. And the kid was like, oh, well, my dad told me. He was like, you know what? He gave him kind of a lesson about that and interrupting people when they're eating in the right time. He gave him a quick little dad lesson. But he transitioned to saying, listen, give me your address and I'll get with you when the time is right. So the kid gave Steve his address. Steve goes, gets the kid's address, signs a picture, autographs it, personalizes it to him, and then mailed it to him. And I thought that was one of the coolest things I've seen as a player, to watch someone take the next step for a fan. Because he's right. When you're eating, it probably isn't the best time, right? And especially when you're diving into crabs like I was. But to watch the way he interacted with them and how he goes out of his way to make sure that fans are taken care of and what he sees at the right time, right moment, I thought that was pretty special, and it says a lot about him. So people like to talk about all the bad things, the aggression, the being ready to whoop up on anybody any given time, but Steve really has a huge heart, and you see that in the work that he does in the community as well with the Steve Smith Foundation. And last on my list of my top 10, I know y'all might crush me for this, and y'all know I'm prepared for it, so I don't really care. Alden Smith. That's right. The same Alden Smith who's been suspended, the same Alden Smith that's been in trouble, The same Alden Smith that actually was just signed by the Cowboys after not playing for a couple of years. That Alden Smith. I had the opportunity to practice against him when I was in Baltimore, my last year in Baltimore. And we couldn't do anything with him. He was unbelievable. Like, we couldn't block him. He was fast. He was strong. His hands were crazy. You couldn't get your hands on him. He was ridiculous. They had to basically tell him to let up for us to get through practice. We couldn't do anything with him. Fast forward a year later, I'm a free agent. I go to San Francisco, and I see him in practice again in the offseason. And he was dominant. I mean, there's just nothing you could do with that type of athleticism and the gift that he had. It's unfortunate that things were derailed the way they were. But he has time and he has another opportunity. So I pray that he takes full advantage of it. I pray that during that time, he received all the help that he needed to get back right, because the talent is there. And I will tell you this too. When you're around him, he's a really good dude. Really good dude, really good heart. And I try not to judge people for the mistakes that they've made. I try to judge them for how I know them and the experiences that we've had. And it's been nothing but positive experiences with him. So I hope that everything goes well in Dallas and he can get back on track and get back to showing his natural talent. So that completes my top 10 list. It was tough. It was stressful. I still know I left some folks off. But at this point, that 10, I'm fine with that list. I'm completely fine with that list. There's probably 9 Hall of Famers on that list, in my opinion. And it's tough for anyone to argue with that. I figured to close out the segment, I'd add some of my favorite teammates of all time. This is in no particular order. And I knew this one would leave some folks out because I played with a lot of people on a lot of great teams in the NFL. And yes, there are going to be some people that are left out, but these guys stuck out instantly when I talk about people who were just great teammates. And I love being around them. Like, there's so many great guys that are left off this list. But here we go. Joe Staley from the San Francisco 49ers. I tell Joe all the time, and I used to tell him, y'all can ask him yourself. I was like, Joe, you're my favorite teammate. This dude was just fun to be around. Goofy, worked hard, extremely talented, like just a fun dude to be around, great leader. And I love my time in San Francisco with Joe Staley. He was special. Next up on the list, Marcus Spears. Marcus Spears came over from Dallas. I remember he played his last year there in Baltimore with us, and now he's doing his thing on ESPN. But Marcus was one of my favorite teammates because of his energy. The same energy that y'all see on TV, that was Marcus every single day. But what y'all don't see is that this guy can rap. I'm not going to put him all on blast like that. But I used to come in every day like, Marcus, give us something. Give us something. And he dropped some bars and we just chill on out. But the only thing that would keep him from being amongst the top 3 or so, I would say, is he still hasn't taken me fishing yet. And I throw him under the bus every time I can. So that's on Marcus Spears. Next up, I'll say, is Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams, I will never forget when he walked into the locker room. I was sitting right there with Ant Allen, and we were looking like, man, that's Ricky Williams walking in. Like, this is the Ricky Williams. Like, my man went away just to smoke and get peace. Like, this is Ricky Williams. Like, he's a legend. And it was pretty crazy to watch him come in and the way he carried himself and the way he thought about things. And Ricky Williams, if you have the opportunity to sit down with him, he's extremely smart. He knows a lot about every single topic, whether that's politics, money, people, whatever, culture, whatever. He was just a great person to have conversations with and to learn from his experience and honestly his journey and how he ventured and found peace. So Ricky is a legend in my book, and I for sure love playing with him. Eugene Monroe is the next up on my list. He is actually a neighbor of mine now, but I had the opportunity to play with Eugene in Baltimore. And he's one of my favorites because, again, another guy that you can have a conversation with about so many different things, even though he went to UVA, unfortunately. I mean, he knows a lot about everything. You talk about family stuff. You talk about religion. You talk about business. And his health journey, to watch the way he was as a lineman, the way he took care of his body, the way he pushed himself, he had a different kind of mentality. And he is for sure one of my favorite teammates. And next up on that list is another UVA guy, unfortunately. But that's Chris Long. I enjoy playing with Chris Long. And it's crazy I had the opportunity to play with him because I've always followed him for a while And I remember way back, you know, when I was in high school and he was at UVA talking to him. He doesn't remember me, of course. I'm a small fry recruit. But, you know, the way he was with me there, quick handshake, conversation, and to watch the way he was as a pro when we had the opportunity to play together, you could see, you know, the real him. He's fun. He's funny. He's going to have jokes all day. He's going to work hard, and he's going to make you laugh. So those are always the best people to be around. And Jason Kelce is next up on this list. Kelce, obviously, he's going to be remembered forever for the Super Bowl speech and that crazy costume. But Kelce was also a guy that I enjoyed sitting by in the mornings eating breakfast. And actually, another one of those breakfast buddies is going to be last up on the list. But really, I could put that entire Eagles offensive line up there. And really, every offensive line that I've been around. For some reason, I've always loved being around the linemen. I have no clue why. Maybe it's my high school quarterback days. But I don't know, man. Jason Kelce is just a great dude. The way he thinks about things was always interesting and a great conversation. And, again, another funny guy. So those are the guys that I tend to appreciate and enjoy the most. Been last up on this list. And obviously, I'm leaving out a bunch of great guys. I can name all the quarterbacks I'm played with. I can name all of them. But the last guy on this list, name is Lane Jerome Johnson. Lane Jerome Johnson. I got to tell you, Lane Johnson is one of the funniest dudes you've ever been around. I think he should be like a WWE wrestler one day. But Lane Johnson was always full of energy. He's going to tell you straight up what he thinks and what he's feeling at the moment. And I love that about him. I have to tell y'all this Lane Johnson story before we get going, because some people wonder, like, why the hell are you calling him Jerome Johnson? Well, we were staying out in L.A. And we were playing the Rams one week, and we stayed out there for the full week. And we wanted to go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. And so we called up to see if they were busy, and it was ridiculous. So we couldn't get in. And I was like, dang, like, somebody had their agent or someone call. And I was like, forget it, I'm just going to call. So I called. And I was the marketing rep. I was the agent. I was like, all right. You know, I have naming the players who were coming, Alshon Jeffrey, myself. I want to say Nelson was with us. And Lane. I think I'm forgetting someone too. But they were like, well, what's your name? And I was like, Jerome Johnson. Instead of like Lane talks little country draw. We were dying laughing. I have no clue why Jerome Johnson came out of that, but we stuck with that for the whole rest of the year. You know, you see each other, you're like, man, what's up, Jerome, or whatever. It was a funny inside joke that led to a good experience, and we ended up going to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles and tearing everything up and having a good time and obviously going on and winning the Super Bowl. But I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful for the guys that I had the opportunity to play with. You know, their impact, not only were they great players, but they were bigger and better people off of it, which I think is a big takeaway for any and everyone that listens to this, any young athlete, any young pro that may be on their way up, anyone who inspires to be great at anything. You can be both. You can be a great athlete, and you can be a great person, and you can treat people like they matter. And every single person on that list that I've been around, they've all treated people like they matter, whether that's the janitor or the president or the owner of a team. They treated everyone the same, and that's what stands out to me the most. And I think that's honestly what matters the most. Now it's time for Tory's Take, the part of the show where I give you my unfiltered opinion on what's going on and trending in my world. After going over a list of all of the great players that I've been able to play with, the memories I've had and the opportunity that, honestly, I just had to witness greatness, I thought it'd only be appropriate that this Tory's Take be about giving folks their flowers while they're still here. It happens to us so much where someone who we may admire, their work ethic, the type of father they are, type of friend they are, how much they mean to you, whatever it may be, the list goes on. And we don't tell people all the time until it's too late. A person that comes to mind right away is Kobe Bryant. I think he's the perfect example of it. And we've seen so many people who were impacted by him and the way he played the game. I know I for sure was impacted by the way he played the game and his mentality. And I was thankful that I had the opportunity to meet him when I was with Philly. We went out to L.A., We were staying there for the week, as I told y'all, to play the Rams. And he was able to speak to us. And just to listen to his mentality, the way he is as a father, the attention to detail, all things that I personally need to improve on, it's a big deal. And this is a person who I've only seen from afar. I think oftentimes you have to be careful about who you choose to idolize or follow. But I know for sure I was able to tell him, you know, I appreciate, you know, what you've done for the game. I appreciate your mentality and sharing that with us. But that's just one person. I have a lot of people. I have a lot of mentors. I have a lot of people who, honestly, I wouldn't be sitting here talking on this podcast if it wasn't for their love and support. And I think it's important that we tell them how much they mean to us, how much you value them, before it's too late. It could be your mother, it could be your father, it could be your auntie, it could be whoever, it could be your coach. Just let them know. Because we all know tomorrow isn't promised, especially living in the time that we're in right now, where a virus is literally taking folks who are even healthy, taking their lives. So I want to encourage y'all to pick up your phone, tell someone that you know, tell someone that you care about, tell someone that you admire, you know, how much they mean to you and their influence. Not that people want to have their horns tooted and that means a lot to them, but I think everyone in some way, shape, or form wants to know that they matter and that they're valued and that their efforts don't go unnoticed. So I want to encourage y'all to reach out to them and y'all give me some feedback on the results. See y'all next week.